4:30, it's time to call to order the Town Discovery Bay Park and Recreation Committee meeting. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. This is an opportunity. This is time for public comment. If there's any member of the public that wishes to come up and address us about any item that's not on the agenda, this is your time. Dennis.
All right. Thanks. So as Brian knows, my name is Dennis Allen, and back in December, November, I came to the board meeting and presented an issue with the gate being closed well before dark, especially in the summertime. And it was supposed to get on this agenda, and it didn't. So I'm just here to reiterate that we, even though you've moved the time of closing the gate to 6 o'clock, with daylight saving times happening in 2 weeks, it's going to get lighter and lighter and lighter. And when we get to 8:30, are we still closing the gate at 6 o'clock, or are we going to move it to dusk? Because there are people that work for a living that want to play pickleball or use the tennis courts or use the dog park or use the swimming pool now that will want to be here past 6 o'clock. And I just want to make sure that we don't drop this issue because it hasn't been resolved as far as the homeowners go. And I know you all work for us, so you got to listen to me complain. So sorry about that. But if we can make sure that it is addressed somehow, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, you're up, huh?
Well, the actual person that was going to come and talk to you is on his way. And I guess I would ask if what he wanted to talk about was going to talk about was the fact that we, I guess I characterize what goes on in pickleball now is we have like, I went through a calculation this afternoon, probably 150 contacts to the pickleball facility a week. And Saturdays are the biggest day. Sundays is getting to be pretty active also. And what we've proposed is that we'll pay for the painting is to mark the last two tennis courts with permanent lines, and we would on Saturdays put up portable nets. We have portable nets that we use in the tournament. We would put those up when we had a day when we, because we'll have 50 or so people on Saturday. We, there's six courts, we could get 24 people playing. And there are an occasional person that wants to play singles. We basically don't let them play singles. Or they feel bad they don't play singles because we've got a full with full courts. So we presented a document to Monica. I guess what I was going to come here and ask you is, pickleball is a pretty active activity here at the park, or community center. And yet, when we were told, I attended the meeting, and you said, oh yeah, we'll discuss this issue about the opening at this meeting. And then we contacted Monica with a document, whether you have it or not, I don't know. But she said, well, I'll take care of it and talk to you about it. And Monica's not here, but I think Randy went back to, Randy's on vacation now, so she's the one who actually talked to Monica. I didn't do it myself. And we said that, we really wanted to come and present so we could talk to you about it. And it's not on the agenda. So the question, how in the world do, when we have something we want to talk about at this level, how do we get it on the agenda? What do we have to do?
Typically just ask. So certainly if I made a commitment to you, and I dropped the ball with Dennis as well, and we did not move forward with getting your items on the agenda, then I apologize.
Well, I would also say, because of my experience in public agencies, is you could put it on the agenda. In this case, the real issue is in 2 weeks, daylight saving time changed. So it's an issue that is on top of you, basically. Not the painting of the courts, that's a different story. But, and in this particular case, of course, you committed to do it, it didn't happen, but you could elect, you have to want to do it, but you could elect to put it on the agenda from my experience in dealing
absolutely.
In public agencies.
And if you give me a couple minutes, I think we'll do that
yeah.
officially. So.
Okay, sorry about that, but I was told by one of the board members that once the agenda was published, you couldn't add, so that's why he's even mentioning that.
Yeah.
Well, we can't add it to tonight's agenda.
Oh, you could. Absolutely, you could. Well, it was your decision to do it.
We could, but I think that with the board being ruled, I would be a little remiss to do that because I would love preparation time, and I want staff, obviously, to have some preparation time so they can brief us accordingly. If I put it on tonight's agenda, we'd be a little bit blind on that.
I think it's we're not at the board meeting.
Right.
We're in a committee meeting where you guys hopefully have dialogue about issues that need some discussion. You have people here that are willing to discuss it. It's an educational thing to have some dialogue back and forth, some ideas of what we think might work. You could ask questions, and you could make that. You could have that dialogue if you wanted to. I admit you. Well, I guess I wish you would have known that we were going to be interested in talking about it from the from the prior meeting that Greg's talking. Anyway, so you're saying all we have to do is ask to get put on the
so,
agenda. Did I get that correct?
I'm going to interject really quick, if that's
sure.
Okay. There's a, typically in public comment, we can listen and take that into effect, which we're doing right now. There is down here on section L or a little bit later, there's opportunity for future agenda items. That was something that we were going to add for future agenda items.
Yeah, no, but we're here. Okay, that's fine.
And the reason why we do that is because, like Brian had, or Director Gouteau had said, that's something that we need staff to help us prepare and do. So there's something else that's coming that we're going to ask for on future agenda items that will make that a little bit more immediate, I guess.
Okay, well, I get, and that's fine, and I accept that. I guess my point is, I think there needs to be, your staff knew we wanted to come and talk about it.
Right.
Somehow it didn't get.
What we do is we don't put it on an agenda right away to blindside the board. So what we do is we have you come, you make your public comment, you tell them what you want, and then the board says, add it to
okay.
the agenda.
I think that's so not a very appropriate way to communicate.
Right, but the residents don't set the agenda. The board members and the chair of the committees do.
I believe if you find out that the public can ask to be put on the agenda and you are required to do it.
No.
They don't do it here mm-hmm. because somebody decided that wasn't the way to do it. But in reality, you should allow us, particularly at the committee level, not necessarily at the board, I don't, that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. These people aren't going to make decisions. They're going to discuss things and have some dialogue, and if you get to a point to make a recommendation to the board, then you do that.
Right. I apologize. We meet every other month, so if something got dropped off, I'll apologize again. But at this particular junction, the meeting's getting a little bit out of hand, so we need to go back to the original agenda to kind of keep things moving.
Okay, let me introduce Chris, because he's a little late getting here. You have some, he can just, I have discussed Chris, the marking the courts, you might just give them the documents. So
yeah, thanks for hearing us
yeah,
out here.
Absolutely.
This is just a proposal about marking the courts.
It
talks about the reason why, and it's the really the popularity of the sport. And on any given Saturday, there's six courts, four people on a court, 24 people. And a lot of times we have 30 people waiting to play, and it's just kind of monotonous. And so to add,
if we can have you step towards the microphone, thank you.
Yeah. And so to add the paint on the course and to give you a diagram of what it would look like. One of the cool things about it is that the U.S. Tennis Association has kind of endorsed or supported this as well, just because of the growing of the sport and just trying to get more people, active in the community. We would absorb all the costs. We'd just do a fundraiser, reverse engineer whatever it costs to get the things. And so the other thing was that the tennis courts, just by my observation, about two or three of them at the most are being used on any given Saturday. And if there was five or six being used, we would give the tenants people priority and we would just back off because the actual nets would be portable. We'd set them up, we'd play, we'd take them down. And so the painting of the lines, you could get two pickleball courts easily on one tennis court. And so with two tennis courts and four additional courts, that would eliminate people waiting, and it would also encourage people coming out. And, you know, it's just a community thing where people can come out and get exercise. And I know as a newly elected president, I live out in Bethel Island. I don't live in Discovery Bay, but I know half of the participants out there are Brentwood and other areas. So as far as coming in, and I know that we usually go to lunch and have a couple of beers afterwards and make fun of each other and at Discovery Bay Steakhouse or some of the other meetings, some of the other venues as well. So I appreciate it. So if you guys could consider it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to give staff opportunity, a staff report together. You bring it back to us and then we can move forward.
Yeah, and that thing right there, that I like it because it's short, it's sweet, it's detailed, and I think it has all the information you need.
Sure. And then I can attest, both Director Porter and myself are very passionate about the community center and the programs out there. We love the partnership with the pickleball folks. You guys have stepped up and operated very admirably on every time you come to us and ask a request. So we're not here to be against you. We're on your side. We just have to follow a certain protocol and kind of operate.
You guys should come out and play. It's fun.
My dad is an avid pickleball player.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, before we move on to the first gentleman, quick question. So what are the current hours of the...
So we're open until, I believe, 6 o'clock now, and as the time is changing, we're moving the hours later. So we're watching when the sun sets, and that's when we're closing the community.
So the gate will be closed. So sunset...
Move forward.
That's all I wanted to know, because if you're going to do that. Because last summer, we didn't do that.
That was because of COVID.
I know.
Yes, as of this summer, and I remember we had a conversation.
Because I would love to stop this, my effort to try this. If you're telling me you're going to follow the sun,
we are following the sun.
Perfect.
And I believe the latest we stay open, though, in the summer is 7:30. That's our latest. That's when we close. We've always closed at that time, even pre-COVID, so that it will be our time for closing when it hits the sun. So as the sun starts setting later, we start moving the hours out.
And that's pretty much based on staffing levels that we currently have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with that, then, let's finally move forward to agenda item number F1.
Do we?
Is that me? They're all you.
Okay, this is the event calendar. Okay, so each year the Parks and Rec Department produces a calendar of public events that will be taking place at the community center or a town park. Attached, you'll find this year's event calendar. And although this past 2 years, obviously, we've seen a steep decline in activities, for obvious reasons, we feel we're getting back on track in this our ninth year of programming. So staff is recommending bringing this event calendar to the board tonight for approval.
I like it. It's a nice list of...
Yeah, it looks good. A lot of community events.
Events and plans.
So this is just through November, is that correct? Or is it through the end of December?
Through December with the holidays.
Oh, I miss... It's really small.
I did find it.
My eyes are... No. Okay, there it is. That's what I was looking for. I think this is great.
And certainly we can always add to it if something comes up. So, yep, I think it's a great calendar.
Perfect. Ditto.
We'll be bringing that to the board tonight.
Okay, perfect.
And we'll move forward to, is there any public comments regarding the event calendar? No? Then let's move forward to F2, swim fees.
Is F2 the
swim fees? Actually, I have it on here, so go ahead. He's going to do his best. Monica is not here to walk through the swim fee items, so I know he and Monica kind of discussed it, so.
So I think at a previous Park and Rec Committee meeting, staff suggested we might look into the swim fees and have an increase for this coming year. To my knowledge, the fees haven't has stayed level, you know, when the pool was in operation over the number of years. So staff has suggested an individual from $3 to $5, a non-swimmer $2 to $3, a 10-punch $35 to $45.
What was the non-swimmer? What was that?
2 to 3.
Okay, so they're not getting in the pool. They're just hanging out.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay.
I just can't write that fast.
And that the 35 to 45 would be the punch pass.
The punch pass.
And then the seasonal went from... I don't know.
I think it was 140 to 160.
140 to 160, yeah.
I think it's
so.
140 to 160.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the numbers are very
incremental
or marginal.
I think so too, and I think they're. I think if I recall last time, they were fairly in line with like what Brentwood's doing. And
yeah, Brentwood
stuff
didn't
like
have
that.
Theirs listed on their site yet, but Livermore did, and it was $7 per swim. So it's kind of in line with that.
I think those look good.
Any public comments regarding Swifties? Okay. Is that something that we need to bring to the board tonight as well?
It's not coming tonight.
Okay.
But we'll bring it back.
Got it. Then we'll move to F3, Cornell Park graffiti and vandalism.
All right. So as you know, the bathrooms at Cornell are vandalized frequently. At a previous committee meeting, we were given direction to cost out some different options. Completely get rid of them. Enclose the buildings entirely and lock them while only opening them for certain events. We're keeping them in it as is, but applying an anti-vandalism coating. So as you can see in the staff report, these are the costs associated with each of those events.
On the enclosure, you're just talking about the gap, those 2 feet of gap between the top of the wall and the roof?
Correct. And then the gate.
Above that.
Yeah. It was kind of silly that they didn't.
They didn't close it in.
Well, first was that.
So I can, just in thinking about this, I can tell you that enclosing them doesn't remove the vandalism.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And it just makes it higher. So, I mean, someone could still technically scale that if they wanted to, correct?
Well, it would be completely enclosed. It would be a fence that you couldn't scale.
Well, it would stop the inside vandalism.
It would stop the inside vandalism.
It would not stop the outside vandalism.
Not stop the outside. Okay. So currently, it's costing us $9,200 a year
to maintain them.
And that's without the vandalism.
Correct.
So every occurrence of vandalism, in addition to that $9,200, if we get vandalized 10 times, it's $1,200 per 10 times.
It's... 1,000 per one time.
Yeah, but like each of those is $1,200. So 1,200 times 10.
Correct.
Is the incremental cost. What would it cost, because there's baseball and other things out there, are we required to have a bathroom for events like that, or would we ask for those families or events to rent like a porta potty? Like what are the options for something like that?
I think porta potty rental is an option. It's actually relatively inexpensive, believe it or not.
Okay.
And for a baseball event, if you're talking a couple of games, it's probably half a day. I'm not sure positive. But.
Well, we are a wastewater facility, so theoretically we could be our own porta potty
service
if we wanted to.
So you're just asking for direction, is that correct?
Yeah, if I could give
what's
you
your suggestion?
Yeah. You know, at first I thought, well, you know, they're not doing anything, let's get rid of their paint. But they are useful. I don't think the enclosure option is reliable, right? It's not feasible because we could still be cleaning up graffiti. I think we go with the anti-coating and see how many times this year we get vandalized, how long it takes us to clean just the area with just a power wash and not repaint. And then go from there.
Yeah, because at this point, I mean, they are utilized quite a bit. And I agree with that. You know, to get rid of them is my opinion. I'm not ready for that.
Can we do the anti-vandalism coding and then put like a 6-month marker to see how many times
we have to
do that? Because like I just did the numbers using 10 as an example.
Yeah.
So if we get 10 times plus the annual maintenance, we're spending almost $22,000 a year to keep up those bathrooms. That's a significant amount of money.
Are you suggesting that we do the anti-vandalism paint now or wait for it to be vandalized and then...
No, we do it within the next month or two when we have time.
Is that where you work?
From what I'm told, it works. I've never used
it. So you just have to power...
Right, you don't have to repaint. You just can power wash.
Can I interject? I'm a facilities manager. Okay. And graffiti is... I'm sorry.
Is there any public comments?
Perfect.
Please.
I'm a facility manager.
Okay, great.
Can you please come up
to the microphone, please?
This is all being recorded.
Sure. All right, for the third time. I'm a facilities manager, and graffiti is a constant battle. And what he's proposing with the anti-graffiti film, whatever you want to call it, works a whole lot better than these other solutions you're talking about. Getting rid of the restrooms, I'll tell you from when they were closed for the year and a half, people found ways to use the restroom in your park.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Just tell them.
Thank you.
But that does work.
Yeah. There you go.
Say, let's try it.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable place to start, and it preserves the bathrooms, and we'll see what happens. And we'll give it a 6 months.
Yeah.
And does this go to board tonight, or is it something that...
Nope. This is something we can just
approve. Okay.
We'll do that.
Yeah, if we can get like a check-in every couple months or something, that would be awesome.
Each committee meeting, I'll let you know if there's been vandals.
Okay.
It'll be yes.
Okay. Bill,
Thank you. You're not done yet.
With
a
larger printout at this point.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
Clipper drive.
So I think I can speak for not only staff, but the community and the board and committee as well, is that we're slightly disappointed not receiving the Prop 68 competitive grant for Clipper Drive. But, however, in an effort to keep the positive momentum from all of our community meetings and input and such, I'm suggesting we consider retrofitting some of these ideas we've learned at the community once in a design for Clipper, but use a multi-year phasing strategy so we're not dumping a lot of money at once into it. So I've come up with several concepts. Keeping in line with some of the other designs we've completed, one of the main issues on Clipper is that the walk is very narrow. So when you're passing by pedestrians, someone has to step off into the landscape, and it's just awkward. So in option A, we create a crushed limestone directly adjacent to the path. It doesn't look like a path, but you can step on it. It's the same grade, and we can get by that problem. In B, we create a separate crushed limestone path that meanders kind of in conjunction with the existing path, but in between is a cobble which wouldn't be walkable. In C and D, still using one of the path scenarios, we discussed this as a management team that, well, we can add swaths of color in synthetic turf, and then that led to, well, maybe that synthetic turf is puck course, where it leads future phasing into game tables and benches, and it becomes kind of an active zone. So whichever way we want to go, I would still incorporate similar dry skate materials we've been using throughout town, add additional plants to fill in where the plant ground cover has died off. That would be mostly on the street side, between the walk and street. And then between the walk and the wall would be fabric and bark, which would be future area of some of these other amenities, like game tables and benches and such. So before we talk about the cost, we can strategize a little bit about how this might look in a phasing strategy, right? So maybe this year one, we plant all the new shade trees for the entire stretch. We finish with this area that we'd like to start at. We paint the PG&E boxes with help from the local high school. And if we want to go synthetic turf route, we can do that as well. Year two or phase two, we can continue stretching out that new design. Year three might be benches and tables. Year four might be lighting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, let's see. Now the costs, not including synthetic turf or any future amenities, the cost to bring this concept in would be nearly $150,000, meaning the dryscape, the trees, the bark. Turf would add another $150,000, and then future amenities would be in the line of $130,000, depending on year we do it. So we're eager to get started on one of these.
So as an example, you have trees at $10,000. That, and then you have new shade trees, 15 of them. Is that where it would be 15 times?
So there would be 15 trees, that would be $10,000.
Okay, yeah, so that's what I meant. Yeah. I didn't mean 15 times $10,000. I meant 10,000 covered the 15 trees.
Sure.
And this is the entire length of Clipper Drive?
Yes. So there's, if you know, you've driven it, there's several bare spots
that
are not unified.
Several, it's...
Yeah.
It's,
so shade trees, you know, are 20, 25 foot cover.
And then on the site cost of $15,000, what does that mean?
Yeah, so when I look at the spot that we want to start at, just to do that spot would be $15,000. And that's how I stretch that out to figure out the rest of the cost.
Okay, so you're saying basically then there is...
That's like a quarter of...
Well, I had to buy $291 by $15,000 to get the number of spots you're talking about?
$291.
Total prior to amenities.
Yeah, cost. Okay. So divided by 15, would it be that how many sections we would do? Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah. Makes sense. It's a lot of sections.
Oh, so is this...
It's a long... It's two and three quarters acres.
Yeah. So we... Okay, I'm... Sorry, I'm confused a little bit. Are you asking us to pick a concept A, B, C, or D, or are you saying these are the four sections?
Right.
And that's how we're going to do that? Or that's what you're recommending?
I'm recommending we have a direction in terms of, do we want one of these concepts? Do we want synthetic turf?
Well, before we get to that, as a hypothetical.
Yeah.
So you gave a multi-year thing.
Yeah.
But let's say funds were unlimited and we wanted to do the whole 291. Is that a possibility for your group?
Yes.
Which means we could do it within a year?
Beginning probably... Well, we do have the Prop 68.
I'm sure you brought up multi-year. So
yes.
Were you coming from the standpoint that, hey, let's keep the cost as minimal for the basic?
Yes. So the phasing strategy was a costing mechanism.
Okay.
So in theory, we could do the first line items in year one, shorten the time frame from 4 to 2 years, and then the second year do the amenities.
Yeah, for instance.
Because my only concern about doing a multi-year program, as we get to the next year, whatever we did in the first year is already tying off.
It's a year old, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and I think my other concern is that we've already waited over a year to do anything on this, and I think 4 years is a long time when we've already kind of held off for two, and it's probably gotten worse than it needed to be because we were hoping to get a grant.
Right.
So I think it would be good to do a lot so you can see a huge improvement. And then, you know, future coming in a year, these are some of the other things that we're going to add to it. And then when we're talking budget, we work in that other money.
I think that's a good approach. I would definitely go that route. I think a decision if we want to do synthetic turf or not would, I mean...
Can we pair up some of that synthetic turf with what we're ordering with the pool to get the costs a little bit lower? Since we are ordering synthetic turf for the pool?
In theory, the cost might change.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could do that.
Okay.
Because we're putting in the synthetic turf already.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that window came away. If there even was a window.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay. So, I was just asking.
Yeah, no, sure.
Sometimes it's better in bulk.
Yeah, so let me, if I may. So we have $100,000 in the budget for Clipper Drive right now. Okay, correct, Julie? So we do not have the extra funds for, we don't have the full 291. So we have $100,000 of it. What we can do is if you pick one of these concepts and you want to do that, we can take it to the finance committee and we can ask them if we could use some of the Hoffman funds to complete this part of the, this phase of that linear park design. So if that's something you want to do. And then I guess that's part one. Part two would be, which concept do you prefer? The A, the B, the C, the D, or do you want to create something different? So I think he's looking for direction of the concept that you like the best.
My biggest concern is the width of that walking trail. That thing's always been way too... I don't even know if it's ADA compliant for a wheelchair.
There are sections that are steep that are not. But yeah.
So, you know, I love all your concepts. I guess my personal opinion of those, we need to widen that walkway and fix whatever areas are need to be fixed. Can that be incorporated in any of these at the same price point, or am I adding cost onto this by saying...
You're talking about concrete?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
What about like the gold dust? I mean, and that may be the same as limestone.
Yeah,
so what if you kind of...
Decompose granite, limestone,
rip up the concrete, do gold dust. I don't know. I'm just snowballing, throwing stuff out there. But, you know, does it have to be a concrete walkway?
Possibly for ADA? I'm not positive.
And I'm sure it's probably expensive to rip concrete up, but...
The disposal of the concrete is more than probably ripping it up, but yes, it is.
Well, we don't want to make this thing, obviously, astronomical.
More complicated.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But, again, for my vantage point, getting that thing widened or allowing for more traffic to pass by each other and whatever, maintain whatever compliances we need to maintain with the state and
right.
everybody else.
I agree with that.
Dennis, do you have any public comment?
Not about the concrete or the walkway, but no, I'll let you know.
Well, please do. Yeah.
You're here, and you're...
We appreciate your input.
I'm sorry. As a homeowner, I drive down Clipper, and I see the modifications you made a couple years ago that are dying off. I don't know what happened. I mean, you guys put in irrigation and it never seemed to take. And it seems like now we're going to throw more money at this.
That was probably 5 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Time flies.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Time flies. But it didn't take.
No.
It really didn't. But whatever you did, I mean, I watched you guys do it and I saw the irrigation tubes put in. But I don't think I've ever seen it watered in any time I've ever been by, and I see it all die out. And now you're talking about spending $100,000 minimum, and it sounds like a lot more than that, especially if you go concrete. As a homeowner and taxpayer, it just seems like we're throwing bad money away, or good money at bad money. I don't know what you say, but that's my opinion. Sorry about that.
Well, with the dry scape stuff that we've been doing, especially on the island, you're seeing is that working pretty good? And
right, you know, right.
So I think you got a good formula with that kind of motif.
Yeah.
And that
eliminates some of the irrigation stuff, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Right, so more dry scape, more drip irrigation, less plants.
Well, I think this is amazing. I think, Dina's got the right ideas, bringing this back to the finance committee, seeing what funds, and then coming back to us and proposing something.
So I want to clarify, just so I'm clear.
Okay.
Do you guys like concept A, correct? With the limestone to actually extend that walkway?
To widen the path.
I like any of the concepts that have the limestone that widen the path.
Okay.
So that's A, C, D.
Okay.
I like the idea of the golf hole knowing that some other things may be coming that will be similar at some point, or the synthetic. I think anything that we can do that is drought resistant and allows us, similar to what you've done on some of the other dryscapes, is more important than adding a whole bunch of trees and shrubs and stuff like that. I think the main maintenance of it and again, being drought conscious.
I would prefer the drought tolerance. and the maintenance.
At this point, we have to do something. I mean, it's, yeah. there's sections where it's just ridiculous.
It's really bad.
We spray, we whip.
Right.
So, Bill, why don't we bring back concept A and concept C, do price quotes for those. To have the total cost structure of the entire site, the top section of the 291 done.
Okay.
You know, and we'll bring that back to the finance committee meeting. Does that sound like that's the direction
that's
you're wanting
yeah.
to go? Okay. So we'll do that.
Okay.
And then ask them if we could spend some of the Hoffman funds to just get this done.
And actually, you know, to me, I'm not big on a lot of amenities, but certainly benches mm-hmm. is something that can be done at the same time we're doing the project.
Yeah.
To me, that's a good amenity to have.
Absolutely.
And you know I'm a bike skate proponent. Because, I mean, truly, kids are riding there anyways.
Right, right.
Like, if it's something that keeps them safe and, you know, isn't bothering the people that are walking and gives them a little bit area, right. I'm a huge proponent of that.
Well, we still have the issue, though, of the sound wall, though.
Okay, that could be phase 6.
Okay. Fair enough.
Touche.
All right. Actually, there's one more thing I think that's not on here. You were to give a quick update on Zone 9 and the concrete.
Oh, testing? Sure. So we were out and we replaced about 25 rails. There's probably 4 to 5 posts that actually need to be replaced, but that's in finished concrete, so I have to get the contractor out here to give me a quote on that. The issue we're having is we could replace 25, but in 1 week's time, 2 more might crumble to the ground. So,
do you have just a rough estimate of how many fence boards we need? Not the posts, but the.
Well, I ordered. I have the.
Oh, yes.
I had 90 to begin with, so now I have 65. That would definitely do Ravenswood.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And then there's obviously Zone 61 near Slifer and such that need replacement.
I think the biggest issue with those is. Especially where the open spaces on both sides on Newport there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have active irrigation in there, but it seems to be the irrigation is what's destroying.
Absolutely.
You know, the water gets in there.
Water destroys concrete.
So, you know, you might want to also look at, if there is active irrigation, why are we irrigating the open space?
Oh, you mean on Wild Drive?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, on Wild and then along Newport.
Right.
We're on both
yes.
sides.
Yeah.
So.
Well, true. The trees are there, so those need irrigation, but.
I mean, I'm not an expert, so I don't know, but I would imagine at some point the trees don't need irrigation anymore. They just get it from the groundwater or
some.
With their roots. But,
yeah.
Or at least maybe we just need to look at all the sprayers and see how they're spraying.
Or convert to drip.
But that seems to be what I've noticed is. Where the concrete fencing is deteriorated is right where irrigation is blasting on it. So,
like at the park, to irrigate the lawn, there's really no way you can have water hitting the fence.
Right.
Right. So.
So.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, you have 90 of them. So, your plan is then to.
I'd rather, it takes us about a day to do 10 to 15. So, I would rather just wait until I need to do 10 or 15. Place all 10 or 15. But like I said, a week later, a kid could climb on one.
Well, I know, but
yeah,
that's
the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
Nature of the beast.
Can you ask your guys also, as they're driving around, just to have some
open eyes?
I mean, if a fence board is down, just back in.
All right.
Now. Not to be a nudge, but some of these things I've driven by for weeks and weeks and weeks, it's like...
And they're still down.
They're still down. It's like, they're in your truck. They'll give you the stop. Any public comments on on our concrete fencing over in...
I don't even know where that is. Yeah. Where are you talking about?
All right. I think, Lisa, do we have any future agenda items?
I have a couple. Can I add a couple? I would like to propose that we do a special meeting in, what month are we in, April? Because we have a lot going on, and I feel like it's important for us to get updates on that. I'd also like to propose having staff look into the cost of having another person especially in the summertime, to sit at the community center to keep the gates open maybe a little bit later than 7:30 for the community and stuff like that, just to see what the cost of that would be and, you know, the practicality of that. And then also the final agenda item is what was brought was the pickleball and tennis courts. Just a report on that and, you know, costs and what that would be.
And I apologize for my friend Bob.
It's okay. No, I mean, it's, he, you're passionate, right? It's okay. And that's what we're here for. So.
I apologize. Like I said, we're on your team.
Yeah,
100%. We want to support you guys. We want to grow this facility.
I know.
And we appreciate the fundraising and stuff that you do, because you always come with a solution and are kind in donating that money to the community for what you're needing, right? So it's a win-win.
And I know, let me go to the microphone. So for the fundraising aspect, I mean, our last tournament, we raised $10,000.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, right? We've got one set up in May. We should probably clear $10,000. And I know we have to resurface courts every 5 years, and so that money will come out there. That's why we're doing it. But we were really hoping that the city would eventually allow us to put lights up, you know, at our cost, so that we could play in the evenings. But again, the gate would always be an issue. And I spoke to the new, I don't know you. Is that
me?
You didn't sound like you were in favor of that ever. So anyway, we do raise a lot of money. And we could do something like that for the community if it would ever be welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, it's welcomed by me because there used to be lights out there.
I know there was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would like to see the lights come back at some point. How we handle it, how we make that happen.
There's lots of ways to do it, too, where you could actually put a box up and they charge, you know, put coins in to make the electricity come on, you know, so it would not cost the city any money.
There's bigger plans with this particular building
that
might come to fruition, so at that point, that would give us more options.
A lot of this,
and that's probably the hesitancy to do some of that stuff.
Okay, if there's nothing else, then 5:12, meeting adjourned.